The opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed on today's radio show and their guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints of Easy Way Broadcasting.
We hope you enjoyed our show. If you like us, welcome to the Forget About It Show with celebrity master pizza chef, celebrity pizza guy Nicholas Rubin, and fashion wellness coach Penny Latham, as they share their experiences, their connections, their knowledge, their wisdom about what you do and you don't want to forget about. Welcome to the Forget About It Show.
Hey.
Wah, wah, wah.
It's Wednesday. Hump day. We have the Forget About It Show with the celebrity pizza guy, Nicholas Rubin, and
fashion wellness coach, Penny Latham. And how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome.
We're in sunny California.
California, yeah, but we're up north, so it's a little chilly up here.
No, it's not. It's 80 degrees.
Yeah. We're 80 degrees.
We had no humidity.
80 degrees up here is cold. But
So, Miss Penny, how was your week?
It was good. I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was nice and relaxing and made a lot of good connections on social media and had a lot of
We've been working hard.
We have been. We've been doing a lot of stuff.
Working the biz.
Yeah, so.
Got to get the biz going.
Yeah.
Celebrity pizza guy.
Yeah, so Celebrity Pizza Guy is about what we're about, where we've been, and what we're getting ready to do, and what do we got going on here? We've got our news, and we've got our weather
and then we have our special guest, Dan Clark.
Yeah, he is amazing.
Amazing guy. I can't believe we have him on our show. It's going to be a great show, and get ready.
And we're gonna intro him when we bring him on, because it is just, my gosh, it's endless. This man has done so much.
And wait till you hear what he has to say.
And we're going to...
Let's go to the news.
So, you know, the one thing I was looking at in, you know, the different parts of just all the tabloids and the news around the world and everything. And the one thing I found that really stood out in some of the stuff that we're going through right now is, you know, when do you see warning signs that your career has stalled? You know, when do you feel like you dread going to work? When do you find that, you know, you really want, you know, to change things up, or you feel like it's time to change things up? You know, I think that with us, we decided to change up our careers. And, you know, so almost a year ago, we kind of moved that direction. And, you know,
we went flying.
Yeah, we went flying. And there's so many things that really are warning signs, you know, like you're bounced from employer to employer. You have your roles and your responsibilities have changed and become more few over the years. You know, you're just not getting anywhere. You're just not going anywhere. And that's when you need, I think, to make a change. And there's so many wonderful people, and our guest today is one of them. He, you know, he really does
big time motivational speaker.
Put things together and teaching you how to find the art of significance. Why you're significant, what really makes you
who you are and what you're all about,
and to bring out what's special in you.
That's right.
And so with that note, we're going to go to commercial.
No, we're not.
Oh,
we have weather.
That's right, we've got your weather.
Yeah, forget about it.
That weather,
how can we give the weather? We only did weather here. That ain't weather.
See, this is how we are.
We got Ocean City at 65. We have San Diego 63.
We have
Vineland, New Jersey at a 73, partly cloudy. We have Stuart, Florida, Port St. Lucie, and Miami at 83. Dodger Town at 68. Atlantic City, 63. And we got Reading at 78,
which I think is cold for Reading. But anyways, on that note, we're going to go to commercial.
I'll take 78 then 100. Commercial. Thank you.
Welcome to EasyWayBroadcasting.com, your one-stop shop getaway to corporate Hollywood. EasyWay specializes in red carpets and will enhance your experience. EasyWayBroadcasting.com is top-ranked on Alexa and houses the EasyWay TV Film On Channel, podcast radio station, and EasyWay Magazine. Learn more about the beautiful Easyway Angels and follow their events calendar. For more information, visit easywaybroadcasting.com and click on About Us or call 424-209-9290. Don't forget to subscribe to the website and follow Easy Way on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages for amazing updates and opportunities. Remember, that's letter E and letter Z because, well, we do it the easy way. Easy Way Magazine is your best vehicle to advertise in if you would like to reach a quality database in corporate Hollywood. Not only will you read the stories and enjoy the content, you will also get to interact through social media and get to meet who's featured at the events, as well as get exclusive interviews from your favorite celebrities. Easy Way Magazine is a Los Angeles and Orange County-based magazine, but also reaches an international audience. Subscribe to Easy Way Magazine today by following Easy Way Broadcasting on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or easywaybroadcasting.com's website. To advertise, call 424-209-9290 or email contact at easywaybroadcasting.com. That's letter E and letter Z, because we don't do it the hard way. We do it the easy way.
Yeah, we do it the easy way.
Easy way. Forget about it.
You know, we're going to bring on our
special guest,
Dan
Clark, who is.
And, you know, he's been inducted into the International Speaker Hall of Fame, who has spoken to 200 Fortune 500 companies and to over 6 million people.
Yeah, how about that picture with him, with all those people in the audience?
I mean, this is just amazing. He's had 5,500 audiences, 50 states, 61 countries, and over six continents.
Well, I guess that guy's flown a lot. How many miles do you have?
Now, that's just, he could have a frequent flyer, that's for sure. But he also is a gold record songwriter.
Yes, he is.
And he's a university professor, award-winning athlete who has had a major setback after a severe injury, paralyzed him from the neck down. He made a comeback, and oh my God.
He made a comeback, just like me.
Yeah. You guys do have a lot in common there. And, you know, who teaches people all over the world to achieve the next level beyond success. And the one thing that stood out also is that he is a New York Times best-selling author, multiple times, has written over 34 books, and he's the main contributor to them, which really shocked me. I didn't even know this. I thought, my God, this is awesome. Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Yeah.
I love those books. And so,
unbelievable.
Dan, we're going to bring you on.
Chicken Soup.
Dan Clark, are you there? Forget about it.
I'm right here. I've been listening to your show.
You're
awesome. I just wish that I just wish all your listeners could visualize this couple. You look like the couple that stands on wedding cakes, that little statue, you know, you can buy in the store. You got Nick Hulk Hogan on the left of the statue, you know. I'd write a song about you, bro, but I don't know what rhymes with stud muffin hunk of burning love. And then you got the blonde bombshell on your arm in Penny.
Hey, you got that.
Oh,
right.
Thank you. You're sweet. But you know that hunk of burning love. Yeah, that's for sure. He is. I will tell you that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So how you doing, my man?
You know, it's so good. In every one of my speeches, I try to remind my audiences, even on my own radio show, that we become the average of the five people we associate with the most, which means if you hang around with five broke people, you're going to become the sixth. And if you hang around with five negative, whining people, you're going to become the sixth. So the tagline in that statement and all of that is that we must be willing to pay any price and travel any distance to associate with extraordinary human beings, not just belly to belly, but on the internet, on radio shows. So it's an honor to be with you. And I know things happen for a reason, but it's our responsibility to determine what the reason is. And when the three of us met down at an event in Dana Point, there had to be a reason than just, you know, a deeper reason than just me stuffing my face with your extraordinary pizza.
Well, that we know you love.
Well, traveled 3,300 miles from West Palm Beach to Redding, California, that must be a reason.
Yeah, right. He did.
I agree. Things don't, you know, coincidence. There's no such universal law called luck. There's no such universal law called coincidence. It's a cause and effect world in which we live. And those who just flippantly say, oh, I was lucky or that was a coincidence, haven't dived deep enough to figure out what the real cause was that affected whatever it affected. So there's a definite reason why the three of us met. And I appreciate you for having me on your show. It's an awesome show, and I just love both of you so much.
We are honored to have you.
Absolutely. So you know, we want to find out a little bit about you. We want our listeners to you know, learn what an amazing, you know, journey you've had and how you've gotten where you're at today. And so where were you born and raised, Dan?
Mesa, Arizona, on the east side of Phoenix. My dad was a cotton farmer. And in the early 1960s, he became very successful as a cotton farmer. You know, had a pretty big spread, 14 wow. cotton pickers, if you can believe it. They're about the size of a wheat combine. And then he, in the early 1960s, he started his own insurance company, his own financial corporation. I'm really mm-hmm. proud of my dad and the legacy he left me because, and left us because, you know, kind of raised in the big city with rural values, you know, those things that just never go away. The most important things about relationships and And my mom, and I love to remind people on the planet that my dad, you know, I'm a songwriter. You mentioned that, Penny, in the intro.
Yeah.
I've written some pretty good songs, some country songs like Had I Shot You When I Met You, I'd Be Out of Jail by Now. That's always a favorite. And My Wife Ran Off With My Best Friend and I'm Going to Miss Him Dearly. That's a favorite.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a classic.
But one of the best songs on a serious note that I've ever written was inspired by my dad. It's called, he used to get a lot of radio play. It's called Special Man. And the lyrical hook, any male can be a father, but it takes a special man to be a dad. That's my dad.
There you go.
But since you asked me about how I was raised, I got to brag on my mom. My mom is the greatest mom who ever lived. She was the youngest of 9 children raised by a single mom.
Oh, wow.
And so in my audiences, I just love to honor. I love to ask the question, anybody here raised by a single mom? And there's always a few hands. And you follow that up with anybody here, a single mom? And there's a few more hands. And I just say, we love you. We honor you. You know, how courageous you are. And I just love to share this story. My mom's 88 years old.
Wow.
She came to hear me speak a while ago. She hasn't been in my audience forever. And she's on the front row. And I introduced her to the audience. And they were gracious. They clapped. And I said, yeah, my mom, even at 88 years of age, she still inspires everyone who knows her. So the other day, she went into the doctor for her annual physical. And the doctor said, Ruby, you need more exercise. So she signed up for an aerobics class for seniors. And sure enough, she bent over, jumped up and down, twisted and turned, perspired for over an hour. But by the time she got her leotard on, the class was over. And my mom's on the front row pointing her finger. That's not true. That's not funny. I'm like, yeah, get over it. You got to, you know, forget about it, Mom. Forget about it.
Forget about it.
That's right. Well, Nick was raised by his mom because his dad passed away.
Well, I was 16.
He was 16, but still 16 years old. And then he worked with your mom until she passed away.
So she passed away
in 2004. Yeah, in the pizza business. So
oh,
you
that
know,
was
well, how cool is that?
1965.
You know, my mom, we have something in common there, Nick. My mom, she had a huge catering business, has her own cookbook. She specialized in sweetbreads and exotic cookies and, you know,
oh,
unique
really?
Potato salad, unique barbecue sandwiches. But she had a catering business forever and taught me a lot about the things that you and I were talking about off air when you so graciously invited me to be on your show that I think is worth talking about. That's, you know, the ingredients matter. It's so many people. I've been at my mom's house so many times. And I've even tried, you know, cooking up a storm, and so many people follow my mother's recipes, meticulously follow her recipes to a T, and then they call her or they call me and they complain, and like, yeah, my stuff didn't turn out like Ruby's.
Can't duplicate
so,
it.
Yeah, well, what she does is she reminds them, she asks them, you know, humbly, she says, well, did you use this specific high quality ingredient? Did you skimp? Did you go get some generic brand or did you go with this one or that one? And 100% of the time, as far as my recollection goes, is the reason why the cake, the reason why the cookie, the reason why the bread didn't turn out exactly like my mom's turned out is because they skimped on the ingredients. And what does that say about our relationships and about our lives and about our day? You know, what are we going to put into the experience, and what we put in, we always get back out. You know that.
You have to follow the ingredients. If you don't follow the ingredients, you're not going to have what you're going to be making.
Yep. Isn't that interesting? So I knew this would happen. I just need to start interviewing you on your show. This is good stuff.
Well, so
come on, let it go.
I know he's going to let it go. Okay. Cool. So where did you go to school? What was the beginning?
I followed a girl to the University of Utah to play football and baseball.
I'm going to make a
school.
This is a comedy.
This is a comedy.
Yeah.
This is a pizza guy comedy show. No.
So I followed a girl to the University of Utah. The second I signed my life away, we broke up and I was stuck there. So,
oh, no.
All right. This is called the Dan Clark Show.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah. So, that's when I started getting inspired as a songwriter to write hits like Drink, Drink, Drink Till You Drink Him Pretty, you know?
Under the bar.
I needed all the help I could get.
I have friends that are listening right now, like Andy Bradley and Christopher Bryan.
Yeah, they're listening.
They must be laughing their butts off right now.
Oh, that's funny.
So we have a flash on our show.
Yeah. Right, come on, let's go.
When you asked
me what school I went to, I was tempted to tell you that seventh grade was my senior year because I want to be able to relate to Nick at every level.
There you go.
That's funny.
Well, yeah, I did graduate in seventh grade.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, well,
you have an incredible memory. But,
yeah, well, the 3 years I was a junior in high school almost killed the whole faculty, so they were just really anxious to get me out of there.
Oh, my God. Were you one of those kids that used to make the teacher chase you around the classroom? I used to have a friend like that, Bobby Hall Jr. I'll never forget it, you know. And
who's
was,
Bobby Hall?
Bobby Hall. His dad was a legend in hockey in Chicago. And I grew up with his son. And I grew up with his son. But he used to do that. He used to have the teachers, when they would come back and the monitor would say he did it, they'd be chasing him around the classroom.
Did you have a yard ruler slapped on your knuckles and break it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's kind of how it goes, yeah. Yeah, but you're bringing up bad memories, man. I didn't get hit with a ruler.
Well, some kids
when I was born, when I was born, I was so ugly, the doctor slapped me, and then he went out in the hall and slapped my dad. So you're bringing up some really bad memories.
I say, go ahead, hit me harder.
Yeah, that's all you got, Doc. That's all you got. Forget about it.
You know, that's really where he gets it.
Go ahead.
So go ahead. He's so funny. So tell me, so after school, so did you go to college?
The nine years I was at the University of Utah really paid, you know, really, really paid off.
No, don't laugh too much. We want to get through this.
So
I attended the University of Utah and I studied psychology. I had every intention of, you know, playing football and being professional football and baseball star and then going to law school and, you know, marrying a babe and
marrying
a house with a white.
Is she your sidekick on the wedding cake? Is that what it is?
No, that's, you know, that you already took that idea. That kind of breaks my heart. There's no more room for that one.
No more room.
All right, let's get down to the serious business here. So after you were playing, you were an athlete and all. What happened to you
That's what I was saying is that I had every dream that every other All-American had, you know. I'm going to play pro football, pro baseball, marry the woman of my dreams, and buy my mansion, and have two and a half kids, and live happily ever after. And one day in football practice, my dream came crashing down. It came to an end. And one of the things that I think is interesting to talk about, you know, especially when we have opportunities to discuss relationships and, you know, self-mastery, I don't know if women have midlife crises. I've never really figured that one out, but I know men do. And most men that I know have their midlife crises right around, you know, 40 or 50 years of age. And my definition of a midlife crisis is where the man you are comes face to face with the man you thought you were going to be. And as I said, most men have their midlife crises when they're 40 or 50. And I had mine when I was 23.
Oh, wow.
So I'm hit in a tackling drill in football practice. And when Lyle got off of me, my eye drooped. I had loss of speech. I couldn't talk anymore. My right side was paralyzed. My right arm dangled helplessly at my side. And when Lyle got off of me, it turns out that I had compressed the seventh cervical vertebrae in my neck. I had severed what is called the axillary nerve in my right deltoid muscle. And I'd suffered a grade level 2 concussion. I don't know if any of the listeners have watched the movie Concussion, but in the late 1970s, we didn't know a lot about that. And so that night, basically, with this grade level 2 concussion, I perspired, I shook like a leaf, I threw up on myself, and I cried myself to sleep. And so to fast forward my experience without boring your listeners, I stayed paralyzed for 14 months. I went to 16 of the very best doctors in all of North America. In fact, I spent a week down at Sentinella Hospital in Inglewood, California, with Dr. Job. Any of your listeners who are baseball fans, he was the doctor for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And he's guy that made famous. He's the one that created the Tommy John surgery, where he gave a 40-year-old pitcher a better fastball and a better curve. And his surgery, called the Tommy John surgery, was actually highlighted in Sports Illustrated. It was about a 5-page expose. He was one of my doctors. I spent a week at Craig Rehabilitation Center in Denver, Colorado. And every one of these doctors told me I would never get any better. And as a professional speaker all these years, when I tell this story, I always pause and ask my audiences, have any of you ever heard that? You'll never get any better. What happens if you believe it? You never get any better. And I know you have a more spectacular recovery story than anyone I've ever met, Nick. You're amazing, and you inspire so many people because of your tenacity. You know, you had a reason to get back up and go again, and you're basically screwed and glued together. And I've recovered, except for my right shoulder is still totally numb. The nerves never grew back. I couldn't generate any muscle mass. And so, obviously, I couldn't play football or baseball anymore. I had an invitation tryout out of high school as a baseball pitcher with the Kansas City Royals. I'm a right-hander. And so in one moment in time, in one second, in one collision, everything I thought I was taken away from me. I lost my identity in one day. And what I'd love to share with my audience is what I love to share with my audiences that your listeners might be interested in is that they can relate to is that I thought I was a football player. The reason why I stayed paralyzed for 14 months was because I confused who I was with what I did. And I'm not an expert on how that affects women, but when a man confuses who he is with what we do, we lose our manhood. We lose our sense of pride and those magical 3 P's that we bring to our relationships. You know, I'm a protector, I'm a provider, and I'm a presider. And when I was paralyzed, I lost my identity. I didn't have a clue who I was, and my life spiraled down, and I hit rock bottom with those, you know, suicidal tendencies that my life doesn't matter anymore.
Because you didn't know
long story shorter, I stayed paralyzed for 14 months because I was asking the wrong questions. I was asking the doctors how to get better when I should have been asking myself why. And once we answer why, figuring out the how-to is pretty simple. So that was a long answer to your question. I'm sorry I didn't take a breath.
No,
but,
I think it was a great answer. And, you know, just to let you know, women do go through the same thing. I went through that, and I actually had that happen to me at 53. So I know sometimes you wake up one morning and you look in the mirror and you go, oh, my goodness, what do I have behind me? And it doesn't matter how successful you've been. What matters is how successful you feel. and
oh,
how
that's
you
brilliant. Yeah.
How you put yourself together in a nutshell, you know, what
what's
you
going to drive you to,
what is going to be your why. Right. And so I had already raised my kids. And so when I decided to make that change, I'll tell you, hell broke loose. Let me tell you. So I do get that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's awesome. And so what did you do? What did you do when,
wait a minute, I got a question.
Okay, go ahead. You ask them a question. We do this, you know, Dan. Okay, go ahead.
It's looking fun.
Yeah.
Right. I just want to say this. Falling 60 feet off a roof.
Yeah.
Splitting your head. Coming back from God. And guess what? I didn't have a concussion. You just got playing football and you had a concussion.
Yeah, that's crazy.
How did that happen?
Isn't that interesting? Wow. Yeah.
No,
yeah, that's
serious.
Crazy right there. Well, let me ask you a question, Nick. When you were hurt, what did your when you were hurt, Nick, what did your gynecologist tell you?
He says you're pregnant.
Yeah, he told him you're pregnant.
That's funny.
So
hold on. So they're stapling my head in the hospital. 35 staples in my head because I cracked my skull, and they're going, okay, we're going to do a concussion test on you. What's your social security? Where you live? What's your date of birth? I run it all out. And they're stapling my head together. They go, this is amazing. How's this guy doing this right now?
It was a God thing.
Holy cow.
And they're like, this guy doesn't have a concussion after falling 60 feet in his head? Oh, my God. And they crushing his chest and then cracking 3 vertebrae. 3 herniated discs, broken kneecaps, 3 ligaments pulled out of his ankle. Oh my God. They're like, this is amazing. And this was before Christmas. So I guess I had the angels of God.
Well,
Absolutely, you did.
You both did.
No,
I mean,
not so much. When I get around folks like you, I just cringe. My story's not spectacular like yours. And
no,
I
your
really believe in miracles I believe in miracles, but mine wasn't a miracle.
I should have been paralyzed. I should have been dead. I did die. I went up and saw God. God said, go back. My pulse was 2 when I came back, and the ambulance guy, the medic says, why is your pulse 2? I go, I guess when you're coming back back to life, you're going to have a 2.
You're going to have a 2.
It's not going to be a 0.
Not
going to
be a double digit.
Holy cow.
So when you got to the end of that 14 months, you know, just like with Nick, you know, you had your journey of getting yourself better and rehabilitating and finally having your brain turned on. What exactly?
I had to work hard to get back.
And I could see that. I could see that with what happened to you. I can't even imagine. But when you, Dan, when you finally got to that moment, what was your first thoughts about yourself? I mean, when you finally got it.
Well, I mean, you're asking some great and deep questions, Penny. Mm-hmm. What happened to me was I actually went through the process when I hit rock bottom in my life, as I knew it had completely been destroyed and taken away from me. That's when you blame God. That's when you blame your football coach. That's when you blame life. That's when you give up. And yet the question and answer session is so critically important. I mean, one of the most profound quotes that I've ever heard in my life came from a good friend, Roger Salam. And he said, prescription before diagnosis is malpractice. I want to repeat that. That's deep. Prescription before diagnosis is malpractice. And so in our world, most of the time, what we do is we spend all of our time seeking the answers to questions. And as a professional speaker in every one of my 34 books, what I've taken a lot of pride in is questioning the answers. And so what happened to me was I was rock bottom, Penny. I can't even describe that to anyone unless you've been there. And it's like the Harley Davidson mantra. You know, I ride my Road King and I love the billboard from Harley Davidson that says, if you have to explain it, they wouldn't understand anyway. And So, you know, the old quote, religion is for those who are afraid to go to hell and spirituality is for those of us who have already been there. What happened to me is I had my moment, my man in the mirror moment, where I actually had to, through deductive logic, figure out, am I going to live or am I going to die? And when I finally decided I want to live, then the next question is, well, if I'm going to live, do I want to be happy or do I want to be sad and miserable? Well, obviously, I want to be happy. So the next question is, well, what do I have to do to be happy and what would I do that would make me sad? So obviously, I could start choosing to make myself happy, realizing wickedness was never happiness. I got to do the right thing simply because it's the right thing to do. If the things we think about are and believe in are different than the things we do, we'll never be happy. We can't be living our lives as a walking contradiction. So
that's
now
true.
I had to realize, okay, I better start making right choices. And the next set of questions came about, okay, so why am I here? What am I supposed to do now that I'm starting to recover, because I've been working my guts out? And what happens is, you know, through the law of attraction, we attract what we believe we deserve. I was asked to speak to a football team. The coach was curious, how did you get better? And it forced me to start thinking about my steps of getting better. And I spoke to the football team 7 out of their 8 games, and they won the state championship. And so now I realized the power of words and the power of emotional words. And that was the beginning of my speaking career.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, everybody's going to wonder about that, because I, you know, it's ironic that you had that happen to you in football, because my son, I was watching my son play football, and his friend had the same thing happen, where a guy landed on top of him and he was paralyzed for 45 minutes. And I don't really know all the damages that happened to him, but the physical stuff that happened to you, and then they have to deal with the mental part. I think that's incredible. And so when you come out of that and you finally are getting it and you realize, wow, I have to move forward, and you realize that you are a strong person. And maybe you don't even realize you're a strong person. You just instinctively know that you need to keep moving forward.
Well, the great quote is, you don't know how strong you are until being strong is your only option.
That's correct.
You know, adversity introduces us to ourselves. No one will ever know how good we can become or how strong we are until we're tested. So I love to share with my audiences that my injury is clearly one of the best things that ever happened to me.
It never happened.
And I don't want anyone to misunderstand my accident. Yeah, my accident wasn't one of the best things that happened to me. But who I became as a man and what I learned about life and priorities as a result of going through my setback clearly makes it one of the best things that ever happened to me. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And Think about it. Wait, before we go to commercial. Wait. Think about it. If I wasn't paralyzed, we would have never met. If I was not paralyzed,
if
you hadn't have fallen off that building and come west, young man, we would have never met.
Yeah. Young man.
Young man.
Wait a minute.
Man.
How old are you?
I'm never going to tell you, but my cholesterol count's higher than my SAT score. So I, you know, had I known I was going to live this long,
good.
Had I known I was going to live this long, I would have taken a lot better care of myself.
It's never too late.
You got to watch the intake.
It's never too
late. All right, Mr. Dan Clark, are you ready?
Yeah, baby.
Let go.
Let go and let God.
All right. Dan is the founder and CEO of the international communications firm Dan Clark and Associates, university professor, national talk radio host, award-winning athlete, contributing author, gold record songwriter, New York Times bestselling author of 34 books.
Wow.
He has published more than 50 million books. Wow.
How is that possible?
Hold on, let me finish.
Oh,
No, you misread that. I've been published in over 50 million books. So my stories have appeared in my articles have appeared in more than 50 million. I didn't publish 50 million. I'm not that old.
has been published.
Has been published.
Yeah.
In more than 50 million books.
And 40 languages.
Yep. 40 languages worldwide.
That's
has appeared on more than 500 TV and radio programs, including Oprah and Glenn Beck. And has been featured in Mayo Clinic, Inc., Forbes Entrepreneur Success, and Utah Magazine, Business Magazine.
So.
And the cover story in A Millionaire and Thought Masters Magazine. Dan has also been inducted into the National Speakers Hall of Fame, named one of the top 10 motivational speakers in the world.
You see how important you are?
And has spoken to 200
milestone
of the Fortune 500 companies to over 6 million people in over 50
How is that possible, Dan? That is
incredible.
Hold on. In
all 50 states, 61 countries, and 6 continents. To our combat troops in Iraq, Afghanistan, Asia, and Africa.
The military.
Hello.
Hello, yeah.
Happy Memorial Day.
Yeah, no kidding.
Absolutely love our troops.
Yeah, well, I saw that, and you know, I see that you've done a lot with the military, and so you know, the accolades are just like, I mean, I know this is not all of them. I know this is, you know, just a small amount of what you've done, and you know.
Oh, we forgot chicken soup.
Oh yeah, so I have a question there about the chicken soup.
Yes, ma'am.
Because I love
the chicken soup.
And
oh my God.
So you contributed to. To those books. Okay, so
Chicken Soup.
Chicken Soup for the Soul, and you know,
my mom loved that. She read it, and you know what?
How did you get involved in that? How did you get yourself involved in that? What was that all about?
You know, Mark Victor Hansen, Jack Canfield, they have their own versions, and this is my version, my story. I'm sticking to it.
So what happened is,
I'd been on the program. Well, I'll even backtrack a little bit. So after I got through speaking before 7 of the 8 football games and the football team won the state championship, I was invited by that high school principal to come in and speak to the student body. And that went well. So then he called 5 of his high school principal friends. I spoke at 6 high schools. Next year, I spoke in 13 high schools. Next year, I took this idea to the Utah State Legislature and spoke at the Capitol building, and they voted unanimously to fund me speaking to every high school and junior high in the state of Utah. And part of my recovery was I was given a cassette tape to listen to by the University of Utah's vice president of the University of Utah. I was given a cassette tape to listen to by a, quote, motivational speaker by the name of Zig Ziglar.
Right.
And I thought, his mom ran out of names. So I'm thinking, wow, that's curious. So I listened to the tape and it changed my whole life. So now fast forward. For 2 years in a row, I've spoken to 170, you know, schools all over the state of Utah, a lot of leadership conferences, and Zig Ziglar's coming into town to do one of his motivational rallies. So I positioned myself backstage. And when he gets through speaking, I said, Zig, you literally saved my life. I want to take you to dinner. He says, I'm coming back to Utah in 3 weeks to do a sales seminar. Call Lori Majors in my office, set up a way to hook up. So he comes back. I meet him. He says, is there someplace I can see this program? And I said, yeah, I've rented this little ballroom at your hotel. He thought that was pretty funny that I had so much confidence because I had a little slideshow and a little movie clip and blah, blah, blah. So I went into this ballroom. It was just mono on mono. And I gave him my speech, and Zig's crying. And he stands up and gives me a standing ovation. I'm crying. He flies me down to Dallas, Texas the next week to speak to his company. Then he sponsors me in the National Speakers Association. And for the next 30 years, he mentors me. Well, here's where I'm going with this experience. He introduces me to somebody who introduces me to Nancy Reagan. So I'm invited into President Ronald Reagan's White House to take Mrs. Reagan's Just Say No program to all 50 states in our country. So between 1983 and 1989, I spoke to thousands at thousands and thousands of high schools in all 50 states. And if you do the math, each school each school averaged about 2,500 students. Some of the schools had 4,000 students. Some of them had less. So on average, I would speak to between three and five schools every single day for 140 school days a year, 140 out of the 180 required by law, 140 school days a year, three to five schools that average 2,500 students each. So if you do the math between 1983 and 1989, I spoke to way over 5 million people. And the reason why my resume, my bio says spoken at, you know, over 6 million is because everybody thinks I'm full of crap. But nobody realizes how many times I spoke. I know that's why my voice sounds now like I've been smoking four packs of filterless Camels a day. You know, it's like,
hey, how you doing? Well, it's either that or something else.
That's crazy.
But that's how I cranked it up. And then what happened is every one of these high school students who were leaders became college leaders. And so now I started doing 170 college university campuses a year. Well, all of a sudden they graduate and they get into human resources or they become leaders or entrepreneurs. And suddenly in 1990 and 91, I made the transition from the educational arena into the corporate arena. And that's why I've been on 5,500 stages and I'm in the National Speakers Hall of Fame. It's just a matter of due course. You just got to, you know, believe that you can't always control what happens, but you can always control what happens next. No matter what your past has been, you have a spotless future. So I just got to keep going.
Well, sure.
Because you were set up basically with Mrs. Reagan. And,
right.
And you did what you did to spread the word.
And you were able to get your foot in each door.
And
then you were out there
getting the word out, and bada boom, bada bing.
You know, we want to get pizza into the schools as well.
Okay.
We want to do something significant like that, too. I mean, that is
healthy pizzas for schools, for kids.
We want to teach kids how to eat better.
That they have right now are not healthy. The food that they're eating right now are not healthy. We want
to
have healthy
pizzas. Well, the message to you, Nick and Penny, and is the message to every listener, and that is that because we become the average of the five people we associate with the most, what we have to do is go out of our way to network at the highest levels. We need to be able to figure out how to influence the affluent. Affluent, not meaning money necessarily. The affluent, in my mind, are the influencers. They're in a platform position where they can introduce us to the people we need to be introduced to
to take our dreams to the next level. Right.
There you go.
See? So think about it. I meet Zig. Zig introduces me to Nancy Reagan. That experience introduces me to everything else I've been able to accomplish. And you asked, oh, this is so funny, you're going to think I'm so ADD. Your question was, how did I get involved in Chicken Soup for the Soul? And suddenly I took you around the world for 15 minutes. I'm sorry.
But see, that's just it. It was Chicken Soup for the Soul around the world. That's what the next book should be.
Guess what?
Okay, well, let me answer the question then. I'll answer the question very succinctly. So what happened was I published my very first book. I had my first album recorded in 1983. I published my first book in 1983 called Getting High, How to Really Do It. Positive twist on what I was doing in the Reagan White House. My next book came out. My next book came out in 1984 called The Missing Link. And then in 1985, I had my third book come out called 1 Minute Messages. And what I did is I took 250 of my stories and I edited each one down to 24 lines. So each story fit onto one page and 1 minute messages. And most books in a bookstore. Exactly. Yeah.
Amazing question.
That's called forget about it.
That's what it is. Forget about it.
Let me hear it.
So,
hey, forget about it.
Hey,
you're catching on now.
I've been to Jersey, man. I've been to Jersey, man. I've been to the South Shore. I've been to Ocean Township, Asbury Park, Long Branch. Come on, baby.
Ocean City, New Jersey, Atlantic City. That's where I'm from.
Yeah,
it's good. I've been out there.
Yeah. Beautiful.
So to finish my story, my book 1 Minute Messages sold 170,000 copies. It was never in a bookstore. Most books only sell 5,000 copies, and they have a shelf life in a bookstore of about 3 or 4 weeks max. I sold 170,000 copies, and one day, when I'd been doing a lot of educational teacher meetings with Jack Canfield.
Stop smoking.
I know I got to do that. Yeah,
you know
what
you need?
Dan,
you need Nick's pizza. You need
of course
celebrity
I do.
Pizza guy's pizza, and it'd be all better.
Yeah, that's funny. Dan, do you smoke? I don't know. I've never checked. I don't know.
Oh, forget about it.
So how did all that bring you to? Between there and now, you've written 34 books. You've got it's just incredible what you've done. You now
incredible.
Have a new book that's coming out.
Hold on. There's not a guy out there in the world has done what he's done.
I know. I look
funny.
At it and I just.
You are an inspiration.
It's going
to
take
a man
a few shows to
being,
get through an interview. That's for
Oprah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're nice.
And now you're on the Forget About Show.
Yeah.
I know. This is the pinnacle of my career. It all came to this. This is so cool. I finally made it to the top of the mountain.
Yo,
I'm the new
Pizza Oprah.
So wait a minute. Here, we want to make a pizza. We only have so many minutes to go. And we have but we want to hear a story. But you know what I want to do? I want you and Nick to make your pizza. We're going to talk about your pizza, and then we're going to go into this book, The Art of Significance.
Okay.
We want to hear about that. So, Nick, you're on.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah. You just gave me a great idea for my own radio show. Hi, are you lonely? You feel that need to confess? Call me 1-900-DELILAH.
Oh, my. Oh, man. No, don't say that. All my friends say that.
Yeah, they do.
Hey, how you
That's
doing?
That's funny. Hey.
We have celebrity pizza
guy
here.
With
Dan Clark. So what ingredients would you like to put together?
Yeah, I want a meat lover's. Drag it through the barn. None of this drag it through the garden crap. I ain't a vegetarian. I've worked my whole life to get to the top of the food chain, and then I have friends eating like a rabbit. There's something wrong with that.
Oh my god!
Yo, are you trying to make me go to Baton?
That's funny. Yeah. No, I ain't no vegan. I love vegans, but I ain't no vegan.
Well,
I'm rolling here.
So tell us,
what kind of pizza do you like?
Yeah. So, well, find your finest sausage, and cut it up into nice little round medallion pieces, and sprinkle that over a lusciously stretched hunk of dough. Put some luscious cheese on there with some red sauce. And then get the pepperoni so that the Italians like me to sit next to. Throw a few psilocybin mushrooms on there so I feel better about myself.
Oh my gosh.
I guess we're on laughing.
I know, this is wrong. We're wrong.
Goldie Hawn?
Yeah, Goldie Hawn. Yeah, she's still up here.
She's still out there.
All
right, let's roll.
Okay, just meat lovers, baby.
Let's
meat lovers, you got to love it.
All right, let's go.
So what do you want?
What do you want on your meat lovers pizza?
Yeah, what kind of meat?
I want your stereotypical pepperoni, sausage, Canadian bacon, which is ham, maybe a little ground beef. I want some
salami.
Yeah, and salami. Yeah, go for that. And then I want extra cheese, maybe two kinds of cheese, and red sauce. Your famous hand tossed thin crust that I love.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow.
Yes, you had it at Breakwaters.
He really knows.
I did. Yep, it was awesome, man. No, it was so good. I felt so bad. I waddled to my car in the parking lot because I took four pieces in my pockets. And I was trying to sneak out so I had something to eat while I was driving back up to L.A., and it didn't go over well with my suit. You know?
No wonder why my pieces went so fast.
And I had them everywhere.
So go ahead. Go with your ingredients.
Keep them.
Enough. I don't even know what my other choices are.
Well, you can have anything you want.
If you're meat lovers, you got pepperoni, sausage, salami. I could go on and on.
I know, but I said a little ground beef, a little some pepperoni, some salami, some Canadian bacon.
Right.
I don't know what else. I mean,
venison
sausage.
You know, he does.
Do you like deer?
Cheesesteak. He does that too.
I do a cheesesteak pizza pie.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
What, in honor of the boardwalk or something? Cheesesteak?
I'm the king of cheesesteak pizza pie.
It's amazing.
It's awesome. I could do a chicken cheesesteak pizza. I could do a cheesesteak pizza. I could do anything you want on a pizza pie.
That barbecue pizza, I mean, that barbecue chicken pizza you did. I love that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd do that too.
Next time we get together,
if you throw ingredients together,
yeah.
I could throw it on a pizza pie, and it's just like basically making anything.
Yeah, we'll have to.
It's a meal.
I know. You're amazing. And remember, I'm 6'5". Right now, I've lost 41 pounds since I played ball, and I'm weighing about 235. I'm trying to stay in shape, but one pizza for my left leg and one pizza for my right leg, that's not a bad dinner.
I can tell you this. My pizza, I walked into Winco the other day, and their one pie with pepperoni was 2,100 calories. And I said,
oh, my gosh.
Hold on. My pizza only has 110 calories per slice.
Right. Wow. So you figure you've got eight slices.
So eight slices at 110 calories comes to basically about 1,200 calories compared to 2,200.
Yeah. Well, probably closer to 900.
And remember what my daughters have always taught me is that you just got to make your calories count.
Exactly.
For your listeners who have never had a chance to taste your pizza pies, it's worth it. You save up all day long, and you find you making your pizzas, and then those calories count, and you have the delectable, delightful, delicious, amazing pizzas. I mean, it was awesome. Oh, my gosh. You're making me hungry right now. It just ticks me off.
Are you ready for some pizza?
So being that you love his pizza and that's what's significant in our situation, tell us about your book. Tell us about The Artist Addiction.
I will. In fact, I'm going to be in L.A. I just bought a car in L.A. and I fly out in a couple of days. So I'm going to be in your neck of the woods for about 3 days and then drive the car home.
Really?
Yeah, so I'll track you down. I'd love to see you belly to belly. But let me tell you about my title. We only got a couple minutes, and I appreciate you asking me. So my website is danclark.com, and I want all your listeners to go on there and click on Receive Free Gifts and Training so you can join my tribe and keep in touch. You'll get so much free stuff, and we'll just have a great time. We can laugh and cry together for the rest of forever. But my newest book is called The Art of Significance, Achieving the Level Beyond Success. And I just want to quickly share three stories. On October 23rd, 2010, I got a chance to soar to the edge of space in a U-2 spy plane. Not very many people get that opportunity. So because it's a classified military mission, I can only tell you that at 70,000 feet above the Earth's surface, I saw two-thirds of the state of California. At 80,000 feet, you see mapped outlines of America. And at 90,000 feet, you tear up and feel like you can reach out and touch the face of God. It was a spiritual experience I wish everybody could have. So for almost 5 hours, I sat in the sounds of silence, looking at the curvature of the earth, gazing into the endless blackness of space, pondering eternity, trying to figure out who am I, what am I supposed to be doing here? How do I fit in? How do I make my life matter? And it blew my mind. I started having deeper thoughts than I'd ever had, like, are we more than mere mortal beings living on a small planet for a short season? What's it really all about? We're all going to die. Let's deal with it. And when we landed, what occurred to me is that everything we can take with us when we die, I had aboard with me on that aircraft. Our education,
wow.
You know, I don't believe we lose our memory when we die, but our character, our convictions, but most significantly, did my life matter? Did I leave a legacy? Did I make a difference? Did I leave everybody that I come in contact with saying, I like me best when I'm with you, I want to see you again. I like me best when I'm with you, I want to see you again. So that one experience way back in 2010 literally transformed my life forever. We're running out of time. Experience number two. One of my football teammates was drafted into the National Football League in the second round by the Philadelphia Eagles. And after
Who
2 years
that?
With the Eagles, he's
Who was that?
I can't tell you his name. After two
Come
years
on.
with the Eagles, he's traded to my Oakland Raiders. And after four
Finally.
Years in the NFL, at the top of his game, at the highest point of his game as a superstar, one day
Alan.
He walks out of practice. Nope. One day he walks out of practice, quits, never to play again. Why? He loved being a football player, but he hated playing football. He
oh,
got
wow.
what he wanted, but he hated what he got. And that's when I started formulating the difference between success and significance. Remember, my book title is called The Art of Significance, Achieving the Level
wow.
Beyond Success. So successful
right.
people get what they want, at least what they think they want at the moment. But those of us who are
then,
striving to live lives of significance actually want what we get, so we don't die with our music still in us. And that's why it's a pleasure to meet you, to be great friends, and to look forward to this lifelong friendship.
Awesome.
I love you, Nick. I love you, Penny. You're amazing, and I'm trying to help you close out your show here.
No, you can't go yet.
You can't go yet. He's
you
right.
have to have a song. You made
yeah,
a song
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, a little jingle.
A little jingle, jingle, jingle.
What did you just say? You want me to sing a jingle?
yeah,
yeah.
You say
yeah.
you're
making
life. No. No,
celebrity pizza guy is here to say, hey, 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 forget about
you know, he's like this 24/7. So
No. You just quiet you.
You
Let
just
him
quiet.
Go.
Go ahead. Go
we
for
have
it.
Time here.
Okay, go.
No, I can't wait. Somebody's going to go, wow, Nick is so awesome on the air. How does he prepare for a show? And I'm just going to confess your sins. I'm going to say, well, Nick, right before he goes on the air, he drops to his knees and prays to God that the drugs you took back in the 1980s start to take effect so that you're entertaining.
Really?
Yeah, he's
well,
his sidekick.
My friends must be rolling in their pants right now.
His sidekick
That's
writes
funny.
It up.
They
That's
must
funny.
Be rolling. Andy, how you doing?
Yeah,
so,
How you doing? Forget about it.
All right, so listen, I have to do my recipe of the week, and if you'd like to stay on, you can listen.
Well, you better get that tongue rolling.
Are you ready? We have a sweet chicken pie. It's called a pizza pie, but it's sweet chicken pie with oven-roasted chicken atop with a mascarpone cheese spread, covered lightly with mozzarella, provolone, and smoked Gouda cheese. Finished with caramelized onions and ricotta cheese. Oh, forget about it.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Oh, yo.
And our nutritional fact we have is...
Yeah, nutritional fact, guess what? That's
so,
not too
so,
good.
So if we're going to eat that meat pie of yours... Then what I usually tell people is to put different types of things in their water, from vegetables and fruits, and drink water that has vegetables and fruits in it, so that it starts to take down the inflammation in your body after eating all that meat on that pizza.
Oh, that's funny. That's like my buddy. That's like my roommate in college. He drank so much, when he dies, if we cremate him, we'll never get the flame to go out.
Yo, listen, Dan,
we could.
We need to have another show with you.
We do.
We have so much information.
We need part two, I'm telling you.
We need a part
two.
Let's
do it.
March. Go on. It's called a part deuce.
A part deuce, yes. So
let's do it, and I'll eat some pizza and have all kinds of inflammation we can talk
oh,
about.
Wait
on
a minute. Hold on, then. We got
well,
to do it live. We're going to do it live.
Yeah, he's going to come.
We're going to have you create your pizza live on the radio and have you live.
We could film
that'd
in
be awesome.
Kitchen. We could film
forget
you in our kitchen.
Forget about it. You're in Utah?
Yeah.
We're in California.
I'm in Utah, but I'm
going to
be in L.A. in a couple days, brother. So.
All right, let's roll.
Okay, well,
let's
connect.
Get it going.
Let's connect, and we're so grateful to have you on
yes,
the show.
Yes, we are very grateful
to
have you on the show.
Again,
glad
I want all
your
listeners
the
to
show. You're the number one man, and forget about it.
Find me on danclark.com. I want you to join my tribe. Everybody listening, come on, danclark.com.
Clark.
I'll
right.
call you in the next couple days.
Com. There you go, ladies and gentlemen of the Forget About It show.
Yeah, and don't You're forget, funny. We forget about.
We're off.
We hope you enjoyed our show. If you like us, email us or repost our show. Saying goodbye from celebrity pizza guy, Nicholas Rubin, and fashion wellness coach, Penny Latham. We'll see you next week on The Forget About It Show.